Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament at Penn Oaks, joined by the freak, Javon Kearse. Thank you for taking some time out, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man.
So I have to, you and I are connected in a way.
Yeah, come on, please.
All right. So I'm in my mid-20s. I'm driving to work on 76 into Philadelphia, and I see a billboard. And on that billboard is two men, right? One man had a fur on without a shirt underneath. He looked very handsome, and it was you. And the other guy had a fur on with a shirt unbuttoned halfway, and that was my dad.
Howard Eskin.
Is my dad.
That's my dude. I did not know that,
yeah.
Man. Nice to meet you,
nice
bro.
Nice to meet you, too.
Pleasure, man.
What was that photo shoot like? I just want you to know, that was a troubling moment for me. You look good, but seeing my dad with the shirt unbuttoned next to you, like, it, I don't know. You look cool with the fur with no shirt. He didn't look the same way.
I'm just saying, that shoot was magical, man. Like, hanging out with your dad there, he had all the ideas. Like, first of
did
all,
he?
That was for Zimmen Furs.
Yes, for Zimmen Furs.
They came up with the shoot and everything, and they had all the ideas, but once we got there, Pops had everything. Pops like, trust me, I got this. So he took over all the creativeness during that shoot.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That was quite a moment. My brother and I, like, we talked about it for years afterwards, and we can't believe our father was on that billboard with Javon Kearse. Quite a moment.
It was fun. It was fun shooting that.
Your time in Philly, like, do you remember that, like, fondly? Is that a fun moment in your career playing in Philly?
It was very vivid. I remember.
Really?
It was very vivid, man. It was just fun time. I mean, outside of the team being who the team was, like, outside of having star players all across the board on both sides of the ball, it was exciting just to be here in the city.
Yeah.
With, like, the fans. Like, listen, I wasn't prepared for this. I was kind of forewarned, like, by, I would say, like, the media in Tennessee, as soon as I signed with you guys.
They were like, uh-oh.
They were like, bro, be ready. Be ready. It's going to be a different animal. So, like, I accepted it, and I came up here, whatever. Like, it was always a fun time playing. Like, the fans here was just it was just on a different level.
Yeah, I mean, what was it like for you, like, when you got here and you actually felt what everyone warned you about? Like, is it apprehension? Is it excitement? Like, what is it like to go from what you were experiencing to what you did experience?
I was more excited about it because, like, it was just like you're never going to see a boring game here. It don't matter if we're losing, if we're winning or whatever. It was always going to be fun. So, like, literally, like, getting here, getting used to talk radio, getting used to these fans, it was always just something that I look forward to doing. Then once you get here and once you're a part of it, and that first year I got here was the 2003-04 season. The season, we went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots. That season right there was just the epitome of Eagles football because it was just so live and so much love coming from everywhere, man.
So obviously we're here for Brian Dawkins, and all the charity that he does was great. What was it like? Obviously, you were an established player, you're a great player. And then coming here, being around a guy like Brian Dawkins and what he brings to a team.
Right. Personally, I felt like more. I'm not gonna say I felt comfortable coming in and playing, but like when I got here, I knew that I didn't have to be the man. Even though I already was one of the men, I knew I didn't have to be the man because we got 54, we got number 20, we got Lito Shep, we got, like, the defense, the offense was stacked. So I didn't feel any extra pressure to, I got to be the one to make this happen. I'm like, listen, I got to make me some plays because I know they're going to make some plays. So I got to try to steal some of those damn plays. So basically it was one of those to where, like, you come in on a comfort level, like knowing that you don't got to take over this team or whatever. It was already established. I just got to just add to the puzzle.
And he did.
Yeah.
Javon Kearse with us. So we're the same age. You're 48. Mm-hmm. Now you look like you're in great shape. Look like you're moving around all right. How's the body, like, feel?
I mean, for the most part, the body's holding up good. I'm still in the gym 4 days a week. I still do cardio.
Look like it.
When you have time, I don't have a wife or kids, so
okay.
I have time to go to the gym and do my little counseling sessions, is what I'm going to call it nowadays.
Yep.
go there and like release some endorphins and then feel better. But outside of that, I just keep busy. I do workouts 4 days a week or whatever. And outside of that, I was doing some fun stuff in Jamaica and kind of tore a tricep tendon. And then when that happened, I wasn't able to work out for a little bit. And then when that happened, my hip kind of started getting arthritic. But outside of that, I mean, I can probably throw a new hip in and go out there and get you back.
I have a new one. I can get you. It's 10, about a year old. Bro. New hip, yeah.
Look at you two.
Yeah, look at us. Me and Jamal Curtis.
Yep. Like, two like elite shit. Athletes. Yeah.
Yep. It happens, man. To the elite ones, man. That's what it happens to.
It does. It does. How's the golf game? Is it all right?
The golf game's picking up.
Good.
I'm somewhere around 17, 18 handicap. I just try to bogey golf, but most of the time I go out and have fun, especially when I come to these events here. It's always good networking, and I always stay in contact with the team that I play with.
Now, Ike is on the show every single day.
Yeah.
Yep, Ike Reese.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Ike story as a teammate, or any Ike stories that kind of stick out?
No, actually, I don't have any Ike stories.
We try to get dirt on him is what we're trying to do, so if you don't have any, it's all right.
No, I think he kept his nose clean around me, man.
Okay.
Yeah, he kept a good image around me. I didn't really have a chance to catch anything yet.
Yeah. Well, one of these things.
I might think of something. Who knows?
Do you still watch a lot of football?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tons of football.
Yeah. Yeah. NFL. Yeah.
NFL.
Yeah.
I keep up with my Gators, even though they're not so good, but they finished up for me pretty good last season. They was expected to have like a below 500 season and ended up above that. So I like that. But like I keep up with the Eagles. I played for only two pro teams,
yep.
Titans and Eagles. Got my AFC, my NFC team.
So you were cheering for us last year.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, wasn't nothing going on in Tennessee anyway, so hell yeah.
What did you think of that? I mean, we had the number one defense in the NFL, watching the Eagles defense last year. What did you think of that?
By far, I would love to play on that damn defense.
Oh, really?
Man. Heck yeah.
And what was it about their defense that you loved watching?
Man, that damn middle of the defensive line, man.
Yeah.
Jalen Carter and the boys go to work, man. I like Coop DeJean in the back, the back end. Everything is like, that's the way the defense ties together. Like, everything starts up front. You got some big dogs up front. Them boys are eating. They making some noise.
Yep.
Then your next level, your linebackers, they're right there as well, man. Come on, man. I mean, just in the stuff he did, and then I was told like last year was his first year like being a full time starter.
Yeah,
man, that's crazy.
Yeah,
man.
He had never even played that position really. Right? I mean, they thought when they signed him,
yeah.
Howie Roseman said that they thought he was basically going to be like a situational linebacker and a special teams player,
team guy,
and he ended up being all pro.
It's an unbelievable signing on a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Listen, all I got to say is two names. Howie Roseman.
A great Gator.
And he's a Gator. I was going to say that as well.
Oh, I don't think I knew he was a Gator.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, he doesn't draft any Gators, only Georgia and Alabama.
Love him. He gets them here, man. He gets them here, and they come in and play, man. So I do love what they're doing here.
You were a great defensive player, obviously. What's it like to see a guy like Jalen Carter? Like, what do you see when you watch Jalen Carter?
A guy that has just endless potential, and not just the potential, he goes out there and does it on the field. And on top of that, everyone else on the defense like feeds off that. So everything just starts up front. If you got this guy crushing that middle, I would love to be lined up next to him and go around that end and get to that damn quarterback, man. So like the stuff that he's doing, man, and yeah.
You get that new hip in.
Yeah, maybe we get you a new hip in there, get you in there.
I can still get you about 10 standing
up. I was going to say, 10, 15 snaps. That's all we need out of you.
That's it.
All right, Javon Kirst, we appreciate you, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming by.
Anytime, fellas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep, thank you.
Oh, man.
The Eskin Collection.
Yeah, finally, the Eskin Collection.
The story.
Happens, yeah.
The real story. That had to be traumatizing for you. Yeah, I'm sure, man.
Oh, it was very traumatizing for me. Yeah, I mean,
because Javon looked great.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, he could still wear a fur with no shirt underneath. He does look great, man.
Yeah, I know.
He looks like he still play.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
I get it. Throw a new hip in there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Again, NFL players seem to go one of two ways. Like, either they really bulk up when they're done, or they get yoked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and he looks like a guy. Similar to, because Ike always said that his problem was keeping weight on. He like he doesn't look like he's naturally. I mean, even when he played, he was jacked, but he wasn't like enormous, sure. you know, from a strength standpoint.
Yeah, yeah. Love Javon Kearse.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so, I mean, we had T.O. and Javon Kearse in the same offseason.
Yeah. That's a pretty big offseason.
Pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a little bigger than Aziz Ojulari and, you know.
Uche?
Josh Uche, yeah.
Uche?
Yeah.
You have bummed about Bryce Hoff leaving, pal?
Well, okay. Can we just be honest about the Bryce Hoff thing for 1 second? Can we, like, unhowie season ourselves for just 1 second and realize that we are being told that we can't keep players and can't sign players because of cash, and we are giving Bryce Hoff $10 million to play on somebody else's team? Like, that is the cash that is happening this year, is $10 million to Bryce Hoff on somebody else's team.
Yep, they only saved $2
million. $2 million on the cap, whatever. There's no cap savings, and it's $10 million cash. And you can't continually tell me that the Eagles can do whatever they want from a cap standpoint and that this is cash, and then not be upset that there's $10 million of cash. Do you know what $10 million buys you? $10 million buys you Isaiah Rodgers, buys you, who was the backup, Oren Burks. I'm saying combination of all these guys.
Yeah.
What did Slay end up signing for?
Nothing.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like these, it's not the end of the world, and they've made more good moves than bad, but this is a really bad signing. Like, this is a, I know we got over last year, $10 million this year gone away for him to play on somebody else's team. And I'll tell you the other thing, and this is fine, whatever, he's going to get 10 sacks next year in San Francisco.
Yeah, I
there's no doubt.
If there was no cap savings, I probably would have just kept him. I mean, it's not like they're super deep defensive end-wise.
But Fangio's not going to play him.
Yeah, but
I mean, he's going to get 10 sacks in San Francisco because Saleh is there. Saleh knows what he's getting. Mm-hmm. He's going to end up. Look, I'd rather have Vic Fangio than Robert Saleh. I'm glad that Bryce Huff is gone. But spending $10 million for him to get 10 sacks on another team when our second defensive end is Jalix Hunt. I love Jalix Hunt, mm-hmm. but like.
Well, it's not even him. It's behind him is Uche,
right.
Ojulari, the hyphen kid they drafted in the sixth round.
Oh, right.
Highland Rollins.
Right.
Roland.
Right. It's just like, I don't know. This is a really bad signing. The mm-hmm. Bryce Hoff signing was a really bad signing. And we're lucky. Last year, we were lucky. It cost Brandon Graham 2 triceps because of the signing last year, because he had to play more sure. than he was going to. And then this year, it cost us $10 million. Just remember that when we get told, like, the Eagles in the NFL, cash wise, are spending the 31st. Most money in the NFL. That means 30 teams are spending more on their defense this year than the Philadelphia Eagles are.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
That makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And $10 million of that we're spending is for a guy to play on another team.
Elliot said that both sides are to blame for the Bryce Hoff thing.
Well, only the Eagles are to blame, from my perspective. What are we blaming Bryce Hoff for?
Well, he also was horrible. I mean,
well, yeah, but
he got paid to come in here and do nothing. He was inactive in the Super Bowl.
We should know that. You know, whatever. 215-592-9494. I'm sorry. I was on vacation when this happened on Friday, and I saw a bunch of friggin' Howie season tweets, and I'm like, for what? We just paid $10 million for a fifth-round pick. That's essentially what we did.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt in my mind he will get 10 sacks.
No, he's going to be fine for them. Yeah. He's going to be back to being Bryce Hoff.
215-592-9494. Gary in Vineland, you're on WIP. What's up, Gary?
Hey, talking about Chris with the alligators, like literally there's like 1,800 signs on there that say do not go in the water with pictures of alligators. So, I mean, it's horrible what happened, but, you know.
Yeah.
Natural selection, I guess.
Yeah. A three-year-old loss. I don't need
I mean,
that.
I guess there's never any problems in Napa Valley.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
But why, Jack, why every year when Bryce Harper gets going, somebody has to, like, break it?
I know.
Like, it just seems like Groundhog Day. It's so
Stop hitting Bryce Harper.
For real. We should put up signs at Citizens Bank Park.
Can I ask a stupid question, Jack?
Okay.
Yes.
Is he too close to the plate?
The issue is he turns into it every single time.
Okay.
You're always taught to turn your back when the pitch is coming inside, but he opens up so much because of how his swing is.
Okay.
He opens himself up to being hit, and he's not protecting himself.
So it's on him.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, and shouldn't he be wearing one of those guards?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and I guess the report, Gelb reported the other day that he's going to wear one now.
Okay.
So it only took a little bit. He clearly was not comfortable wearing one, or else he would have worn one. But we all know Bonds used to have all the armor on.
Yes, he did. Bonds had a lot on.
It's just so frustrating. It seems like the team just shuts down when he's not in the lineup.
Well, we can say that, but historically, the record is fine without Bryce. That's why I'm not accepting the everybody shut down because Bryce wasn't there this weekend. It should be the opposite. It's not Bryce and a bunch of rookies out there. It's Bryce and Kyle Schwarber's making $20 million. JT who's making $25 million. Trey who's making $30 million. Like Nick Castellanos is making $20 million a year. Alec Bohm, who everyone tells me is an all-star last year. That's the rumor. That's what happened. So they should, instead of shutting down when Bryce goes out and looking like the bad news bears out there, they should, everyone should bring their game up. Mm-hmm. They should step up. And that's,
they did not do that.
They did not, yeah. Gary, next question. Go ahead.
18 ground outs. I was going crazy. But next question.
Yeah.
I go to the homeland where my family's from, Venice and Bologna in Italy.
Oh, there you go.
A lot of Italy answers today.
Yeah, Venice. So, Jack, you saw Venice, right?
Yeah.
You were a little kid when you were in Venice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I saw Venice, it looked like an amusement park to me. It looked fake. It couldn't be real.
It was hard to wrap my mind around water in the city.
Water in the streets.
Yeah. It's you can only get around on boats.
Yeah.
It seems insane.
Yeah, and they have, at night, it's a cool place to wander around, but when I was in Venice, it looked fake to me.
Yeah.
It wasn't a real city.
Yeah. I just remember I was so excited. I had, I think I found American soda in one of the pizza places. And I was so happy.
When I was in Italy and the food is great, it made me long for American food.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The opposite of, I think, everyone else.
Yeah. It was good. Everybody gets how they're going to get, I was not vegan at the time. So I was eating whatever was there. I just wanted to get, I wanted normal, gross American chain
greasy food. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny is that, maybe I did end up in the right field where I just want to complain about everything all the time.
Yep.
But the thing I didn't like about Italy was I thought the eggs were horrible. Everywhere we went, eggs horrible. They could figure out, they could do the chicken parm, they could do the spaghetti, they could do the pizza, they could do the meatballs. They suck at cooking eggs.
Well, they don't do a lot of eggs for breakfast, right? Breakfast not a big meal in Italy, I don't think.
Is it not?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I just remember terrible eggs.
215-592-9494. Okay, Andrew, you're on WIP.
Ooh.
What's up, okay?
What a do, fellas.
What a do, Andrew.
Hey, big weekend, not for the Phils, but big weekend in general for teams around Milwaukee, specifically the guy of Rhys Hoskins, who we should be trying to acquire. And I think that might be a necessity to have another guy we can rely on for power in our lineup, because we only have two big power guys in our lineup, aside from Trey, who could be 50-50. But I feel like Jack is right after all these times saying it, which I don't say that a lot, so we need to.
Thank you, okay, Andrew. I appreciate the compliment.
And I also think that our center field situation, everyone's talking about it. There needs to be one guy. A lot of the successful teams around the league have one guy in the center field that controls the outfield. If it's not Rojas, if it's not Marsh, if it's Crawford, then I'm sorry to a lot of the sentimental Phillies fans, but we might need to get rid of both of them for a better positional need, such as a number one reliever. Or such as a
you think you're going to get a number one reliever for Brandon Marsh and Johan Rojas?
No.
Okay.
But a package, maybe. So, well, I mean, we've been linked to Helsley. We've been linked to Bautista. I said a couple of guys last week that are lefties. But my overall thing is we need to fill the gap of the timely hitting, which I know Jack said is a myth.
It's a myth.
But we need to be able to hit in all areas of our lineup in the biggest moments, because we can't. We have so many runners on, and our bullpen comes in and Harris runs and lets them in. So good teams do not do that.
Can I ask you, and I hesitate to ask you, why do we need one guy in center field?
I think that we need a consistent guy.
That's the same as saying one guy. But, like, why should it only be one guy?
I think center field's one of the most important positions on the field, aside from catcher and probably either shortstop. So I think we need a guy to take charge out there, be a leader, and become the captain of this team for years to come. And if we could do that, we could build around them in the outfield.
All right, okay. Next question today. Give us somewhere you always wanted to visit.
So I had two spots, but I'm going to say South Africa. I'm a big safarisman. I know Jack's a big safarisman, too. Spike, you got to get on that. So.
He won't.
Yeah. I got to get on what? A safari?
Being a safari guy, like me and OK Andrew.
You're a safari guy?
Yeah, wait. 8-year-old Jack was. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And you're a safarisman, OK. What safaris have you been on?
I mean, all right. Hate to say it. I've been to the Disney Safari. It's nothing big.
Well, you don't hate to say it.
It's not a real safari.
You're not 48, Spike.
Did anyone tell you, when you went there, did they tell you it's not a real safari?
No, but it's not going in the wild.
Yeah.
I'd like to go, like, see animals.
Okay, all right. There it is.
Justin's here.
Hey, Justin. Yeah. It's terrifying. You can't say you're a safari guy. I ask you what safari you've been to.
And it's just Disney
World. And it's Disney World. That's not a real safari.
I mean, how many safaris are there, though? I mean, isn't it just kind of... I mean, there's not many. Like, you can't just walk around and find a safari. You can't go to the Midwest and bang, there's a safari.
No, not here. But I think there are safaris in the world that you could visit.
Yeah.
Do you think the Rhys Hoskins thing... So I watched Trey bobble that ball.
Okay.
And I'm like, I was all in on the Rhys Hoskins thing. And then I watched Castellanos blow that ball. I watched Trey bobble that ball.
Well, if Bryce plays, they don't make those errors.
Will you stop it? Do you think the Rhys Hoskins thing is actually a good idea?
Yeah.
Really?
I think overall... Like,
it makes them worse defensively, though, right?
Because again,
if Bryce is playing left...
If you want to go by DRS, he's been as good as Bryce defensively.
Let's be grown-ups.
No, well, in all seriousness, I talked to a buddy of mine out there, and he has... I'm just telling you, everyone scoffs when I say that. Like, yeah. I'm not.
Wait, you have a friend in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Okay.
Just saying that...
My girlfriend lives in Ohio. That's what that sounds like.
No, it's a made-up thing. I'm doing is telling you.
Okay, all right.
And he said that he's been better defensively there. Like, he hasn't been... He's still not great. I'm not saying he's great. Hasn't been as much of a butcher. I just think we get so worked up about possible runs they could give up when what he brings offensively would, I think, make up for it and then some.
Do you think Trey makes up for his defense with his offense?
I think this year he has.
Yeah.
I don't think he's been... Again, that was his first error he's made in a month, and it was annoying.
He's made 5 errors this year.
Well, he's made 40. I think he's made 45 as a Philly, which feels like a lot of errors.
It feels like a very high number.
Like a ton of errors.
Yeah, he hasn't been here since, like, 2009 or something. He's only been here 3 years.
No, I know. So I think he would make the entire thing better. And why I think timely hitting is a myth. It's like everyone's like, timely hitting. It's just... Like, if you at 300 with runners in scoring position, then you're great. That means you're still failing a lot of times.
Yeah, but you complained about their hitting with two outs and runners in scoring position.
Well, they were horrible.
Well, but that's timely hitting.
Yeah, it's when Andrew says it.
Okay. Now we get to the honest thing.
No, it's just like everyone's. Like, I think people just make up things to You're gonna not come through a majority of the time.
Well, that's true. You could still be better.
They have been better at it.
Oh, God.
I'm just telling you.
All this guy does is he's so wormed up.
There's no worm.
There's a lot of worm.
It was too windy for Jesus Lizardo on Saturday.
There it is.
And the offense has gotten going because it's cold.
All right. The excuses. So what's coming up in the top 5 at 5? Top 5 reasons he couldn't trust it to buzz?
Yeah, no. The people at WIP I'm most disappointed in currently.
Oh, God. I know one person who's going to be on it.
There's obviously five people.
Yeah. But I think I know for a fact one of them. I just don't know what number that person will be.
Okay.
All right. We are at the Brian Dawkins Driving Impact Celebrity Golf Tournament at Penn Oaks, 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.